Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
This morning we have a bit of a treat for you. We affectionately call this weekend after Cherish the Cherish Sunday. So listen, we don't want to just say that in title. We really want to take a little bit of what happened at Cherish Conference into our Sunday. So today I've asked two of our incredible leaders, our female leaders that lead the charge here at South Campus, to come and share for 15 minutes each on something they really feel that God has talked to them about in regards to strength and honor. For the men in here that didn't know that, that was the title of our conference this year, was Strength and Honor. What is it to be a person that has strength and honor? So listen, there is two ladies speaking today, but listen, this is for the men too, okay? So don't tune out because it's, just because it's girls up here. I know, I felt it actually driving in today. This is going to be one of those Sundays. I agree with you. I really think if you make a decision, you can leave here different than you came in today. Yep. So come on, as these girls get up and kind of share their story, share their heart, let's do what we do, South Campus. Let's cheer them on. Let's take notes. Let's get excited and expectant about what God's going to do.
Who's up first?
Okay, so our very first speaker today is the beautiful Natalie. Now, if you were at conference, you might remember her because she was the one that I made come on stage and do the dolphin noise. Anyone remember that?
She may do it again today.
She may. It was pretty glorious, the Lord. So we have the beautiful Natalie. You can start coming up. And then straight after, as we come up. And then straight after Natalie, we're going to have the incredible Katie Yeager come up. Woo-hoo-hoo. But let's kick this off this morning. Come on, let's give a massive round of applause welcome Natalie.
Good morning, guys. How good is it to be in church this morning? How many Cherish ladies got a little bit of sleep last night? Just a little bit. I was still so excited, I couldn't really sleep. But I'm so excited to be here, really, really excited to share what God's put on my heart, and honestly really honored that I would be asked to share this morning. I just want to take a moment and honor our amazing campus pastors, Pastor Drew and Pastor Emma. Honestly, thank you for believing in Marco and I apologize, but you are stuck with us now for life. So thank you for being our friends, and honestly, just to honor our incredible lead pastors, our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, who are so releasing, and they allow people to come and share their platform and share what God has done in their life. Honestly, I was thinking, where would I be? Well, obviously without Jesus, but where would I be without C3? This should be a hashtag. Where would I be without this church? I'm so thankful. But let's get into it this morning. Pastor Emma already shared our scripture for the conference. We're going to go with that again one more time this morning, and it's Proverbs 31. You can turn there. Proverbs 31, verse 25. It's up on the screen, and it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity," or honor, "and she laughs without fear of the future." So my question, I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever been invited somewhere or had the opportunity to go somewhere, and it was really exciting, but you felt like you couldn't go? Ladies, are you with me? Because you didn't have something to wear. Does anybody feel this way? Okay, now men, I know you feel this way too, because I'm married to one of you, okay? And he almost didn't show up for church this morning because he couldn't find, I'm just kidding. But have you ever felt like that? It was a couple weeks ago, my husband came to me and he said, "Babe, we're invited to this wedding of one of my best friends growing up. There's going to be like 600 people there, and it's in Mexico, so you know you have to wear a floor-length evening gown. And all my friends from my childhood are going to be there, and my ex-girlfriend that you never met before." And I was like, "Well, we're not going because I have nothing to wear, right? And it's in 3 days. It's on Saturday, I forgot to tell you." So I'm like, "Wow, babe, thanks." He's like, "But I really feel like we should go, and you know, we should just show them what God has done in our life and just really support them." And so I went shopping, found the dress, but had I not, I would not have been there, right? Have you ever felt that way? So I feel like God wants to speak to some people this morning that you are on your way somewhere. You have an appointed place, an appointed thing, an appointed time. God is taking you somewhere, but you may or may not have the right outfit, have the right attire. See, I believe everybody in this room, we've been given a destiny by God. And I don't mean a destiny like a destination, like this one place and this one time, and then once you get there, yay, I fulfilled my destiny. But a journey where God is taking us on this journey with him of becoming who he designed us to be. And when I first had my kids, and even now, since they were babies, when I'd put them to bed at night, after I prayed for them, I would say, and God, I declare that they would become the man or woman of God that you created and designed them to be, and that they would fulfill their destiny. And I believe that's God's heart for us as his children, that we would become everything that he has created us to be. Because I feel like it's God that can see just around the corner of our life, right? We can't see what's around the corner. We don't know what's waiting for us, but God does. And he's doing something in each and every one of us. And I even believe people here this morning were right on the precipice of stepping into something that God has prepared for us, but we need to be wearing the right thing to get there. It's in Ephesians 2:10 that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Destiny. God has something prepared beforehand, and he wants us to walk in it, but we have to be wearing the right outfit. The title, if I were to give this a title this morning, it's called Dressed for Destiny. The first part of that scripture we read, it says, she is clothed with strength and honor. Now, this woman in Proverbs 31, the woman that it's talking about, the picture that it's painting, it's this beautiful story of a woman who is living her destiny. She's fulfilling the God-given purpose for her life. She's being who she's called to be. She's walking in the fullness of everything that God has for her. And she's a wife. She's a mother. We know this from the rest of the passage. And so that makes me kind of conclude that she's a grown woman, right? She's not a little girl. And for a grown woman, go with me for a minute, to be clothed in something, it makes me believe that she dressed herself, right? Even my five-year-old, I have a five-year-old daughter, and she's right at that age where even though it takes her a little bit of time to pick out her outfit because she's very particular. I'm not sure where she got that, but what she's wearing, and it might take her a long time, but she's finally at the age that she can dress herself. So I believe as we journey with Jesus, we come to a time in our life where God wants us to learn how to dress ourselves. God wants us to learn how to put on our own clothes, how to put on our own things that God wants for us. And we have to mature in Christ. In order for us to step into everything that he has for us, we have to learn how to dress ourselves. The scripture says she put on strength. In other parts of the scripture, it says she clothed herself with strength. See, there's some battles in your life, and you might be going through one of them right now, that nobody else can fight for you. And I remember a few years ago, I was in the depths of struggling with very severe anxiety, crippling anxiety, couldn't leave the house, couldn't leave the room, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't function. It was crippling. It was tormenting. And I remember, you know, reaching out to the pastors and reaching out to, you know, texting the group me and texting all the Cherish ladies to pray and texting, or not texting my husband, telling him, pray for me. And, you know, that's biblical, and there's so much power in other people's prayers. But I believe God had me on a journey where I needed to learn to put on strength. I needed to learn to strengthen myself. And that was part of my journey. There's a story in 1 Samuel. It says, now David, 1 Samuel verse 30, chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man of his sons and daughters. So David had just gone into battle and he was leading these men, and there was a raid of his enemies right when he got into the land, and they took the women and they took the children, and like devastation came, and David was in great distress because all of his men were bitter at him, held him responsible for this tragedy and this horrible thing that had just happened. And they started to talk of stoning him. And it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And there's times in our life where we have to know, in the face of our darkest hour, in the face of our biggest challenge, our biggest battle, that we have to know how to go away and how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And I remember Marco and I had been married about a year, and we found out that we were pregnant, and we were so excited. We had a 3-year plan, but this was like, you know, the best surprise, and we were so happy that we were expecting a baby. And So we were sharing with our family members. We told our church family, and we were talking about names and trying to pick out clothes and just began to dream, right? This great sense of destiny had come on us, our future, our hope, all these things that we had hoped for and believed for. And it was a couple weeks later that something didn't feel right. And I was in pain, and it was the middle of the night, and Marco had to rush me to the hospital. And we got to the hospital, and, you know, after a series of events, the doctor came in, and he said, "I'm so sorry, but you've lost the baby." And I just remember that feeling of my hope just slipping through my fingers, right? Just everything that we had dreamed of, this life, this exciting future that we felt God had for us, and then all of a sudden, it was gone. And I remember Marco coming in the room. And we looked at each other, and we had no words, but he grabbed my hand, and we began to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we began to thank God, and we began to cry out to God, and we began to say, "God, we trust you, even though this hurts right now. God, even though we don't understand, God, we believe that you love us. God, we believe that you have a plan for our life." And it wasn't easy, and it didn't, you know, it wasn't like I felt so much better in that moment, but God was teaching us to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. To strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And maybe, you know, maybe you have walked through a miscarriage. And I know there's many women that have. But maybe it's the loss of a dream that you're walking through right now. It's a loss of a relationship. It's a loss of a hope. Something that was in your mind, that was in your 10-year plan that hasn't happened yet. Or something came and tragedy happened and it feels like it slipped through your fingers. But God, this morning, wants to teach us to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. See, strength is something. Yes, it's God's strength. It's not our own strength. But we can put it on. We can put it on like we put on a garment. We can put it on like we put on a jacket. It's waiting for us. The strength of God is waiting for us, but God is waiting for us to put it on. And there's going to be times in our life that we're walking through something and we're saying, "Oh God, where are you?" And we're texting everybody to pray for us. But the strength of God is waiting for us, and we can choose to wrap ourselves in the strength of God. We can choose to put on strength. So that's my first point of two, put on strength this morning. Whatever you're walking through, you can pick it up and you can put it on. The second part of that scripture, it says, "She's clothed with strength and honor, and she laughs without fear of the future." So fear is this funny thing. And I shared a little bit about my journey with anxiety, and that's for another time. But sometimes we think of fear as just this unpleasant emotion that we can't avoid, right? You know, things go on. Oftentimes it's fear of the future, fear of the unknown, and we find ourselves plagued by fear. I looked it up. According to Google, fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger or a threat. I don't know if you've ever been there before, fighting through those emotions, but the Bible tells us that fear is actually a spirit. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." So it tells us that fear is a spirit that God has not given us. So that leads me to believe that the only place that that spirit of fear can come from is from the devil himself, right? And fear is this weapon, that the spirit of fear is this weapon that the enemy likes to come and speak into our situation and speak into us, especially at the moment that we're going through pain, especially at the moment like me during that miscarriage when I felt like all hope was lost. And he wants to come in. And he wants to give us fear about our future. But I love that the Bible says that he has given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19, "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." So if fear is a spirit, it's a spirit that I have authority over. That means that I can say no to fear. That means that I can take off fear. That's point number two. You need to take off fear, right? So when the enemy comes against you, you don't have to give in to the emotion of fear, but you can say, no, I know that voice, and that voice is not God. And I've had times in my car, I've had times, you know, sitting in the bathroom, I've had times getting dressed, whatever it is, where I feel the voice of fear just come into my life. And it can be about so many things. It can be, you know, maybe that you're never going to accomplish that dream that God's put in your heart. Maybe you're never going to find that person that God has for you. Maybe you fight fear that something's going to happen to your children. And it's just this subtle voice that we start listening to and we start listening to. But when we recognize, wait a minute, that's a spirit of fear. And you might think I look like a crazy person, but literally I'm like, no. Fear, no. You've got to go. You don't belong here. I have authority over you, and I'm not going to give in to a spirit of fear. So we have to put on strength and we have to take off fear to walk into what God has for us. And, you know, in the vein of putting on strength, I just wanted to share two quick thoughts of how we put on strength, right? Because we can find strength in the Lord. We can put it on. But some of the things that I did walking through that situation in my past, number one, we need to remember the faithfulness of God in our life. We need to remember what God has done before. If he's done it before, he can do it again. And you know, in the Old Testament, the people of God, every time God would do like this major miracle or deliver them from an enemy or provide this miraculous thing, they would build like an altar or a monument to remember what God has done. And it was for future generations to see and say, wow, if God did that for them, he's gonna do it for me. If God came through before, God hasn't changed, so he's gonna do it again. And I feel like God is bringing some of us through these monumental moments in our life so that forever, we can look back to that thing and we can say, God, you did it for me then, you're gonna do it for me again. So that's what we prayed in the hospital. We said, God, even though this doesn't make sense, God, even though I feel like all hope is lost, God, you saved me. God, you took me up out of the pit. God, you loved me. God, you planted me in an incredible church. God, you gave me an incredible husband. God, I know you're gonna restore my hope. God, I know that you're gonna give me a baby. God, I know that you're gonna come through for me. We need to remember what God has done. And the second thing is we need to find a promise in the Word of God that we can prophesy and speak into our future, that we can anchor ourselves to in those moments. See, maybe you're walking through something today and, you know, nobody has to know, but maybe there's something that you're feeling even as I'm speaking in your heart and you're saying, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to become all that God has for me when I'm going through this thing that I can't recover from, that I can't seem to get over? There's a promise in the Bible for every single situation, every single circumstance. After I went through that, losing my first baby, which I've gone on to have two more, praise God, he's so good. But I remember reading verses like, God gives the childless woman a baby, making her a happy mother. I'm like, I never knew that was in the Bible. How specific, right? It was just for me. So when I'd go to the baby showers, I would say, you know what? God gives the childless woman a baby, making her a happy mother. My God is going to give me a baby. He's going to make me a happy mother. And I would begin to speak into my future. So I would begin to put on strength. I begin to remember what God had done. I'd begin to prophesy to what he's going to do. Believe, anchor myself to the word of God, because God keeps his promises. And then when fear would come and say, it's never going to happen for you, it's only going to happen to your friends. See, I was pregnant with a bunch of women at the same time. So we all had the same due date. And so I had to watch them receive their miracle, their blessing, step into their destiny and experience, you know, the plan of God for their life. I'm like, what about me? And I had to strengthen myself in the Lord. And I just say, God, I know you love me. God, you've done it before. You're going to do it again. God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. And I'm going to stand on the word of God. When the voice of fear comes, I'm going to take it off. I'm going to take off fear. And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say you don't belong here. You are not welcome here. I will fulfill my destiny. I will become everything that God has made me. And if he can do that for me, he's going to do it for you. So this morning, I want to encourage us. Let's be dressed. Let's be ready. Let's be prepared for everything that God has for us. And honestly, the only answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. He holds our future in his hands. As I was praying this morning, I felt like God said to tell you, to tell the people that your future is secure in him. See, sometimes we forget that and we scramble and we fight and we get exhausted and we're trying to figure out life and, you know, we're just a mess because we've forgotten that our future is secure in him. He knows our tomorrows. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's written our story. He's going to bring us through. And at the end of the message today, we're going to have an opportunity to either come back to Jesus, to start a relationship with Jesus, to enter in, to put on the right garments, the right clothes, and be ready for everything that he has for us. But before then, I want to welcome up my incredible, beautiful friend, Katie Yeager. Can you guys put your hands together?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, give it up for Natalie. My beautiful friend, what a word. What a word in season. Thank you for sharing your heart and for being vulnerable. I love our church. Guys, this is church. We get to do this. We get to actually live our life together. And I love to watch. So I've been preparing for this message and just to watch how God already is weaving together. Even Pastor Drew, you basically preached my message. So I mean, we can call up the band if you want, but I really felt in my heart, and Natalie said this too, that there are promises that are for each and every one of you that you have forgotten. you've forgotten. And so today I actually want to talk to you guys about seeds and soil. If I were to title my message, it would be Seeds and Soil. No, I love it, Drew. Don't worry. This is amazing. You've set me up really well. So before I get into some scripture, I want to share a semi-funny story. So I'm a very visual person. I'm a dreamer by nature. I'm very excitable. If I hear about something, I'm instantly like, yes, let's do it. Let's go scootering downtown. Woo! Anyway, I've been like that my whole life. I think I get it from my mom. But my whole family's kind of like that. So my dad, when we were little kids, said, hey, guys, I'm going to take you to a rock show. And so we're like, oh, cool, a rock show. We've never been to a rock show before. This is going to be fun. So we get in the car, and we pull up to this parking lot. We get out, and we walk in, and I think there's a picture that's going to be put up on the slide. We walk into a convention center filled with rocks. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. My dad took us to a rocks and gem show, not a rock show, okay? And the look of disappointment and embarrassment on my little brother's face, you can only imagine. And as funny as that is, how many times have we heard a word from God, or we've sown seeds into the soil, and we've cultivated, and we've declared, and then we look to our left, and there's all these blooms, all these beautiful sunflowers, and we look to our right, and there's the same, and then we're like, God, where's my rock show? Where's my sunflowers? Where's my garden? I was faithful. I've been sowing. And I really believe, church, that today God is going to challenge and ask you to sow again. To sow again and to not leave your field, because there is a harvest coming and there are promises that he has spoken over each and every one of you, and we are in process. We are in a journey. Amen? All right, so I want to share a scripture with you really quickly, and then I actually want to point out the difference in seeds, okay? So in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, there's a lot of scripture that talks about what you sow, you will also reap, right? Pastor Drew brilliantly gave us a tithe message about sowing and reaping and the waiting process. But I actually want to turn your attention, then I will read the scripture. What seeds are in your hand? Okay, I actually saw this picture as I was praying that there are people walking around with pockets full of seeds that they're afraid to let go of. They know their potential. They got it going on. They have skills, talents, abilities, but it's in seed form. And until you actually plant those seeds into the soil of the house of God, into the heart of God, and you surrender all of the things that God put in you in the first place, he's the giver of all of the seeds, right? Until you do that, you're just going to be walking around with pockets full of seeds. And it's time to sow those seeds and to be expectant, all right? So there's actually two types of seeds. Side note, I do not have a green thumb, okay? I actually have the opposite of a green thumb, but I love gardens. I dream of being this gardener one day, have vegetable gardens. I had a dream of living off the land when I was younger. I'm like a closet hippie, if you guys, those of you that know me. But I really have tried throughout the years to keep anything green alive, okay? And I would blame, like, we lived in an apartment up until this past year. Oh, it's the sun. Like, there's too much sun on my patio. So that's why all of the plants die, because obviously the sun is killing everything. And if I just had a little bit more shade, then they would thrive. Or then we would move to another apartment where there was no sun. And I'd be like, oh, it's dying, because obviously plants need sunlight. Obviously, I'm watering it, it's not growing. And then I realized the common denominator was me. I killed everything, you guys. I tried tomato plants, I tried flowers, I tried everything, and still to this day, the only thing I can keep alive are succulents, because they don't require anything. Or air ferns. Yeah, but there's actually two types of seeds that I just recently learned about. Maybe it'll help me be the gardener I dream of becoming one day. There are annual seeds, and then there's perennial seeds. Have you guys heard about this? Any gardeners in the house? Okay, then we'll all learn together. It's okay, guys. All right, so annuals bloom only one time, okay, when you plant them. Perennials bloom year after year. Annuals are cheaper because they only live one cycle. Perennials come at a cost. Annuals have a brighter bloom with a really weak root system because they only live one time, whereas perennials take up to several years before they even come out of the ground because everything is going towards the roots. And when it does bloom, it's a smaller bloom because all of the energy is going into the roots. And it takes up to two cycles, but then after two cycles, after being in the ground for 2 years, it can be duplicated. You can cut the flower off and plant it, and then again and again, it's a legacy flower. Annual seeds cannot be reproduced. They can't be reproduced. So God started speaking to me about this, about the seeds that are in my hand. Because he has given us perennial seeds, but we also have access to other seeds that are not from God. And we've been sowing seeds, thinking they're from the Lord, when really they have nothing to do with the promises of God. And so I want to ask you, have you sown seeds that are not of God and then end up with a garden filled with weeds and dead flowers? I've been there. I've had the ugly garden. And blame the Lord. God, what's going on here? I planted seeds. I sowed into this with bitterness. You will bless me, God, because you blessed that person and you blessed that person. Where's my harvest? Where's my harvest, God? The Bible says it's a principle of God. What you sow, you will reap, okay? So let's turn to Galatians 6, 7 through 8. I'm going to read out of the Message version because I like it. It says, what a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. How powerful is that scripture? We serve an eternal God. We serve a faithful God. Our God is a God of faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says this, know therefore that the Lord your God is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love, this blew my mind, to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Do you know what faithfulness actually is? If you really boil it down, it's devotion. And the only way that you can really experience devotion is through time. And time is something, and I am guilty of this, guys, that we run away from. We don't like time. We don't like waiting. We want everything now. We're in a microwave society. Anything that requires time, I literally get impatient popping popcorn in my microwave. I'm like, seriously, 2 minutes? Can't it just pop already? But when we look to the scripture, we see that God does not play that game. He takes long periods of time, and then he moves suddenly. But he is not afraid of time because he is outside of time. He sees things through an eternal lens. And you can see this all throughout the Bible. Did you know that between the page where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins, a span of 400 years, 400 years of silence, of God's people going, where are you, God? You promised us this. We expect you to return. Where are you? And yet God, being the faithful God that he is throughout all the generations, was above that time, outside of time. He sees the entire plan. He saw everything from the beginning of time. He knew how he would redeem, how he would save, how he would harvest in our life, in our neighbor's life. And it is time to mature, to put on strength and honor, to not be afraid of time, to celebrate the harvest of our friends, to celebrate the harvest of our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and to know that a time is coming in the process that God is taking us through where we too will have a time to testify of God's goodness. But it takes that journey. It takes sowing yourself in the house of God. It takes laying down your dreams, laying down those visions, laying down your life, being okay with saying, I don't know what is happening to me. I am a hot mess. Oh my gosh, I am embarrassed. And then your pastor's going, it is okay. It is okay. That is my testimony, guys. I literally could not ever speak in front of people when I came into this church. And God had put deep in the soil of my heart, you are going to preach. I was afraid to even say those words out loud. And I stand on this platform with such a humble heart, knowing the leaders that paved the way, that have poured into me, that they would release me to even be able to share with you this morning. I testify that God's faithfulness has been completely... God's faithfulness in my life and my husband's life. And we're young, guys. We've still got decades to go. But I've seen over the past short 31 years of my life, God's faithfulness. Faithfulness through traumas. Faithfulness through walking family through addiction. Through suicidal thoughts. Real things, guys. I'm not talking about the fluff or the stuff that kind of matters, but the stuff that really matters to the heart of God. He is faithful. He is so faithful. And just as he's faithful in my life, he is faithful in yours. All right? Okay, so in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. And guys, we're in good company. If you look at the Bible, there's a lot of people who had to do a lot of waiting. To name just a couple, Abraham was He was called to be father of the nations, and he was literally a cripple. This is how I see Father Abraham. Father Abraham had no sons until very old age. He had to wait and stand under that promise, probably mocked a lot. Moses had to wait 40 years in the desert. He got so angry, he literally was like, come here, all you rebels. And he started banging this rock that God had told him to speak to for water to come out. He was so impatient. He was like, oh, I'm fed up of you Israelites. Keep messing it up. We're wandering around 40 years in the desert. And he stepped into disobedience. God was like, come on, you know my faithfulness. You saw me split the Red Seas. You saw me take down Pharaoh. And because of that disobedience, Moses was able to see the promised land, but he was never able to enter into it. He wasn't able to wait and to listen to the Lord, to listen to the voice of God, and to lead out of that place. Joseph was promised to be the leader of his people, and he actually ended up being the leader over the Egyptian people as well. But knowing that, he was sitting in a prison cell. How many of us have been sitting in the prison cell or staring at our soil or going to connect groups, serving on a team with all these things in our heart, never feeling noticed, never feeling recognized? How many of us have been in these seasons of waiting, of process, asking God, when will it be my time? When will you take me out of the prison and send me out to lead, to be everything that you've called me to be? Can we put on strength and honor and be able to recognize the voice of God in our life, to celebrate other people's processes, other people's journeys, because a house unified is what stands. It cannot be divided. We have to stay unified, you guys. We have to recognize what God is doing through everyone as a whole. We are a family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's time for us to recognize and to be in tune with what God has us doing in this house, in the lives of our families. We have to both surrender our dreams before we could receive what God has for us. So the second thing I wanted to just pay attention to really quick is soil. Now, dirt is interesting because it actually has two purposes. You bury things in dirt, right? You also plant things in dirt. You bury and you plant. So there are things that God asks us to put into the ground because we need to leave it in the ground. And then there are other things that God asks us to put into the ground so that God can rise up a harvest. But are we mature enough to let God be the decider? Are we able to hear and to be surrendered enough to the faithfulness of God that, Lord, if you have me do this or that, this is what I want, but I want what you want because I know that what you have for me is more than my eyes could see or my ears could hear or my mind could ever conceive. Come on, church, this morning, I'm prophesying that as we come and close of this service, there's going to be things that are put into the ground, and there's going to be a hope and expectancy in this church, knowing that what God has for each one of you is more than you could ever ask or imagine. And I thought it was fitting, over the Cherish Conference, we played the song New Wine, and it was so powerful. It had just such a touch of heaven on it. And I am so excited. I'm going to actually invite the band up because this morning we're going to sing New Wine together. And there's a line in New Wine. It says this: in the soil, I surrender. You are breaking new ground. New ground. The winemakers back in the day would put wine into these wineskins. And the wineskins, if they got too old, would crack and the wine would spill out. And there's so many of us, I know I've been there, we've been walking around with old wineskins, holding on to the things that of our past, the things that we wanted to see happen. And God is saying, I have new wine for you. I have new wine for you. Did you know that winemakers, I do love a glass of red wine, winemakers actually protect the soil from getting too much water. If you go to a vineyard, you'll notice that most of the soil is cracked and really dry. And that's because they are forcing the root system to go down deep so that the most rich nutrients can flow into the wine and the grapes won't become filled with sugar. Okay? And this morning, I really felt the Lord say, I am doing a mighty work. Don't focus on the dry, cracked soil. Focus on the roots and be expectant for the wine that I have in process. So as the band sings this song, I'm actually going to open up this altar. Here at our church, if this is your first time, we call this the altar, and it's where we meet with God. And it's a place where we can talk to him about our fears, about our hopes, about our dreams. It's a place where we can take off our burdens. We can be honest. And this morning, I want to invite anyone that has felt heavy-hearted or frustrated. Maybe disappointments have just clouded your mind to the goodness of God. But he is ready to meet with you this morning. And no matter what you have walked through, I know that as the beautiful band sings these words, he is breaking new ground. He's breaking new ground. He's tilling the soil of your heart. He's going to pull out dreams and visions that he put into your DNA. And for such a time as this, church, he just wants to encourage you. So we're going to sing this song, and I'm going to invite you, if this message stirred some things in you, come meet with Jesus. Come meet with Jesus. He is a faithful God. He is devoted to you. He loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross, and his blood covers everything that you've done, everything that you will do in the future. And he wants to deposit new seeds for you to sow that will produce a harvest in due time. So, church, if you could all just stand to your feet, I'm going to have the band begin to play this song. And I just want to pray really quick as we meet with God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here today, that there's an expectancy that we can have hope for the future, a future that will not be cut off, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in the lives of every person in this house today. It's in your son's name we pray, amen. Come on, church, let's sing the song.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.